All right, some good news for you. A lot of good news, actually, considering what it could have been, what we've been conditioned for Kyle Shanahan's Monday news to be. We'll open up with Brock Purdy. Kyle Shanahan seems optimistic that Brock Purdy could go this week against the New York Giants. In fact, Kyle Shanahan literally says, "I don't think it's a long shot." Now, you have to compare this to previous weeks where he did say, yeah, it's kind of a long shot that Brock Purdy will go this week. And it really corroborates what we had gleaned and assumed about all this, that as long as the 49ers kept winning, they had the runway for Brock Purdy to get as close to 100% as possible. But, I mean, they really, really needed Brock Purdy yesterday in Houston. I don't think there's any sane question about that. They needed his escapability. They needed his off-schedule creating ability, and it wasn't there. Mac Jones did his best, but it wasn't enough against one of the elite defenses in the league. The Texans believe they've got the very best defense in the league. So good chance that Brock Purdy is back out there against the New York Giants. They do not have a good defense on Sunday. A follow-up question was posed to Kyle Shanahan. And he said that the question was, does the surface matter? MetLife Stadium has got that turf surface, and obviously turf is less healthy than natural grass. To their credit, they did replace the terrible turf back in 2020 that was the turf responsible for all those 49ers injuries and that nightmarish game. In 2023, they replaced the turf with a newer type of turf, but it still is not natural grass. So a reporter asked Kyle Shanahan if the MetLife surface changes the calculus regarding Brock Purdy's return, and Shanahan said no. So if Purdy's healthy enough to go, and if the 49ers deem it necessary for him to go, I think he's going to go on Sunday. So we'll wait for further updates over the course of this week. Adding on to that, Mac Jones came out of this game with a knee contusion. He is day-to-day this week. So it's again time to start monitoring who's healthier, Brock Purdy or Mac Jones. The last time that happened was ahead of the Jacksonville game. Purdy was healthier than Jones, so Purdy played even though he wasn't 100%. Purdy's had a longer rest this time, so I would hope that he's closer to 100%. The 49ers took the luxury of their hot start to give Brock Purdy the rest that they hope that he needs. So they're going to reevaluate this, I'm sure, every single day of this week to see who actually is ahead in terms of health, and maybe even base the decision off of that. The 49ers are favored by 2.5 points over the New York Giants. So the 49ers are favored to move to 6-3. This is not a good New York Giants defense. And if the 49ers can move to 6-3, then they're set up for the showdown against the Los Angeles Rams, which comes up right after that at Levi's Stadium. You know, there are pluses and minuses of returning Brock Purdy on artificial turf. Obviously, the minus is it's artificial turf. But the plus might be that you don't throw him to the wolves cold turkey against the Rams, who have the number two defense in all football. He'd have a chance to build up. And I'm sure that that's all part of the 49ers' decision-making calculus right now. There is no exact, clear, right way to do this. They've tried to give Brock Purdy as much time as possible. And who knows, based on Mac Jones' condition over the course of this week with a knee contusion coming out of that game, more time might not be possible for Brock Purdy. He might have to get out there just like he did week 4 against Jacksonville. So that is something that we will watch closely over the course of this week. We got some more pieces of news today. This is good news for the 49ers. These are the injury reports from yesterday's game. The three players who left the game yesterday are all day to day. That could have been a whole heck of a lot worse, right? Sam Okwuonu, ankle, day to day. Jordan Elliott, defensive tackle, ankle injury, day to day. D. Winters, knee injury, day to day. And Alfred Collins, he left the game briefly, came back in, and it says that he has an ankle injury. That I thought they were looking at his arm a little bit earlier too, but it says that Alfred Collins is also day-to-day. So the 49ers not exiting this game with any week-to-week injuries, similar to the Bryce Huff and Jake Brendel situations the week prior. Those two injuries, they immediately knew those guys were going to miss at least a game, maybe even two. and they're probably going to be out this week. It seems that the 49ers are already resigning themselves to having to be without Bryce Huff. Maybe they've got a trade in the works. If they do have a trade in the works, then that would help really assuage the lack of a pass rush, which was their huge, huge thorn on Sunday. I mean, that was bad for San Francisco in the game against the Houston Texans. They only got to CJ Stroud three times when they didn't blitz. Like literally only three pressures all game when they didn't blitz. And they didn't really get to him because they didn't sack him a single time. Hearing from some Texans people after the game, they couldn't remember the last time that CJ Stroud had played a football game at this level without getting sacked. So it's one of those things where, I mean, the 49ers pass rush was pathetic yesterday. Everybody knows it. The Texans knew it. They capitalized on it. I think the 49ers know it. I mean, Adam Schefter verified last week that the 49ers are searching hard for edge rushing help on the trade market. I don't know if they're going to be able to get what they need, but they sure as hell should try. They've got a little bit over a week to figure that out. I mean, I was joking, and maybe I wasn't joking fully, that they've got to make sure that they board a plane at Newark International Airport on their way home back to the Bay Area. They've got to make sure that this guy right here is on that plane. Not this guy. That's me. We're going to play that commercial in a little bit. That's kind of funny, actually. This guy. I am not Kayvon Thibodeau. But this guy needs to be on the plane for the 49ers. Coming back from New York was my joke. The Eagles had two 100-yard rushers against the Giants yesterday. The Giants' defense is really bad. The Giants are 2-6. The Giants are probably open to trade anybody except for anybody healthy, except for Jackson Dart and Brian Burns. Kayvon Thibodeau would be a player that makes sense to trade from the New York Giants perspective. He's been the best run defender on this team that doesn't have a whole heck of a lot of good run defenders, and he's racked up about 20 pressures already on the season. This is the best football that people have seen Kayvon Thibodeau play. Actually, when Nick Bosa first went down and I was talking about potential 49ers trade targets to replace Nick Bosa, the very first name that I mentioned was Kayvon Thibodeau, because inherited from the previous regime, coming up on the fifth-year option, may not be somebody who's in the extension plans for the New York Giants, who just drafted Abdul Carter out of Penn State. And since they're 2-6 and their season's going nowhere very fast, and since that defense is an absolute train wreck in New York, it certainly is possible that they could think about moving on from him. A couple weeks ago, after they beat the Eagles in the first matchup of those two teams, I don't think that that was all too likely. But now the Giants are sliding. They blew that game against the Denver Broncos last week. They lost yesterday big time to the Philadelphia Eagles, giving up 38 points to 100-yard rushers. And you know what? The 49ers have a chance to head into MetLife Stadium and hand the Giants their coup de grace. We're talking about a defense ranked down near number 30 in the NFL. And if Brock Purdy plays, and if the 49ers come out guns blazing on the offensive side of the ball, if they play ball control and they're favored in this game, well, maybe they can win, improve to 6-3, and then take this guy with them on the plane back home. When they played Carolina in 2022, the 49ers had that initial connection with Scott Fitterer, the Panthers GM, about Christian McCaffrey. And then a couple weeks later, they actually traded for Christian McCaffrey. He couldn't fly with them on the team plane back to San Francisco. He had to take a private jet across country on October 20th. But still, same kind of dynamic. Maybe the 49ers can make it work in that regard. So that's what's at stake right now. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, Transparent Labs. You know me, I train regularly. I have to, so I could do all my swims in the San Francisco Bay to Alcatraz and back. And I've got to fuel myself properly in order to accomplish all of this. Well, it's important to ingest the right protein. That's why I'm so excited to team up with Transparent Labs, because their grass-fed whey protein isolate has made it really easy for me to hit my protein goals in a clean
and healthy way.
Trust me, this stuff works. After Transparent Labs sent me some to try for the course of a few weeks, I was really feeling a difference in my strength and the fuel necessary to not only attack the weight room, but also attack the water. And you know what? The best part about this is the variety, because personally, I get sick of having the same thing day after day. This protein comes in 14 delicious natural flavors. I can easily switch it up when I feel like having something new.
And you can be confident that what's on the label is exactly the same as what's in your shaker, because Transparent Labs protein is third-party tested and informed choice certified.
If you'd like to try the Transparent Labs grass-fed protein yourself, well, you're in luck. Just hop down into the description, click on the link, or scan the QR code right on the screen. Transparent Labs is giving away a free protein starter pack right now. 5 different flavor samples in that pack. Trust me, check it out. You will be very, very happy with the quality of this product, and you'll be happy with the diversity of flavors. QR code on the screen, link in the description. Make sure you check it out.
All right, thank you to Transparent Labs for their support of the show. Now, this article just came out. We got it up on the San Francisco Standard. This is the news that we're covering today. There's hope for Brock Purdy's return after that double-digit loss in Houston. That's Mac Jones getting absolutely pummeled by Houston's defenders. But these are the 49ers grades, and we can go through this on a position by position basis. There's a couple F's in here. I gave an F to the offensive line. I gave an F to the defensive line. 49ers offensive line just got overrun. And they're, you know, another big return this week to practice, and we'll see if it's a return for the game, is Ben Bartsch at the left guard position. The 49ers are going to open his practice window. They're not going to open Brandon Ayuk's practice window just yet. So that's probably going to be, I don't know, next week, week after that. He's in week-to-week mode right now for San Francisco. I think that the initial 49ers gut feeling had been week 10. This is just week 9 against the Giants. So this would have been early. This would have surprised Kyle Shanahan, although he did raise the possibility of Ayuk's window being open this week. They're only planning on Ben Bartsch. But I'll tell you that Ben Bartsch is probably bigger news for the 49ers if they hope to be successful moving forward, because Connor Colby has just been in a blender at the left guard position. It's not fair to Connor Colby, not really fair to the 49ers, but they have to deal with it. Connor is a 7th-round pick. They didn't even expect Aaron Banks, a 2nd-round pick, to play as a rookie in 2021. They kept Laken Tomlinson, who they played against yesterday. He's on the Houston Texans right now. But they kept Laken Tomlinson around for 2021 to allow Aaron Banks to learn behind the scenes. And that worked out well, because once Aaron took over, he was able to hit the ground running and played some good football for the 49ers. They thought he played actually his best football earlier in his career for San Francisco. So if a 2nd-round pick needed a year of seasoning, it stands the reason that a 7th-round pick will also need some time for seasoning. Colby didn't get that benefit because Ben Bartsch went to injured reserve very, very early in this season. And when Colby entered against the New Orleans Saints, he played some clean football in terms of pass protection, but it went downhill after that. Teams found some of his weaknesses on tape. Teams started to scheme around those weaknesses, and Connor Colby has really, really struggled for the 49ers. Bottom 10 pass protection metrics. The run blocking has been slightly better than the pass blocking, but I think that the 49ers have been somewhat limited with what they have been able to do schematically on that side of the field. And the return of Ben Bartsch is extremely, extremely important for San Francisco. Dominic Pooney's play has improved over the course of this season. The last couple of weeks especially, he's been a lot better. Even yesterday, I thought he was a lot better than he was against Tampa Bay, against Vita Vea a couple weeks ago. My point after the Tampa Bay game was that you can't have 2 guard players performing deficiently. Like, you can scheme around one of the spots, but when both guard spots are not playing well, it is a big, big problem. So that was a huge issue against Tampa Bay, who had that great interior defensive line. They obviously were able to work around it against Atlanta, who had a lighter defensive front, and they ran a ton of that gap scheme power. They controlled the game. Yesterday against the Houston Texans, the main problem for the 49ers was edge rusher. And, I mean, you could see that one coming from a mile away. Will Anderson Jr. is an absolute beast. Danielle Hunter's been doing this forever. Trent Williams and Colton McKivitz both gave up four pressures apiece. But Williams has had the disadvantage of having to cover for Connor Colby, who's just been in over his head over the course of the past month or so. So if Ben Bartsch returns to practice successfully this week from the high ankle sprain and then can start for the 49ers on Sunday against the Giants, that's going to be a big, big boost against a defense that has truly struggled so far this year. That was bad. I just knocked my phone on the ground, but I don't really need it, so we're good. Two thumbs up. Everything's okay around here. Just a little bit of an accident. The phone's laying there. Thankfully, it's got a case, so it didn't shatter. And it's not breaking like the 49ers injury situation, that's for sure. I put up the title here earlier. I put 49ers breaking because I didn't know what the news was going to be. We were waiting for Kyle Shanahan to relay some of the stuff, and people started guessing, oh, boy, what is this going to be bad? Is this going to be good? They, you know, had been so accustomed to this news on Monday being poor news for the 49ers. I think there was a little bit of PTSD. By and large, the news coming out of the facility today, though, is good. The guys that were taken off the field yesterday, including Sam Okwuanu, who was carted off for only day to day. Brock Purdy looks like he could be returning on Sunday. I can't say that definitively yet, but it's definitely trending, continuing to trend in the right direction. And although no Brandon Ayuk for the practice window this week, that wasn't really expected. It was just opened up as a possibility last week. So we're going to wait 7 more days for the next Brandon Ayuk update. I'm sure that we're going to ask Kyle Shanahan on this version of the conference call. November, what's it going to be? It's going to be a new month. It's going to be November 3rd when we ask Kyle Shanahan about it. The 49ers come back from New York, presumably with this guy on the plane with him, Kayvon Thibodeau. Hey, the trade deadline is 8 days away. I think that the 49ers really need to add players along the edge rushing positions. There's good news today with Sam Okwuanu and that he's day-to-day, but even with him in there, they didn't really have anybody with true plus juice rushing the passer against the Houston Texans. And it made C.J. Stroud look really, really good. The 49ers had a blitz 14 times in this game, which is a lot for Robert Saleh. C.J. Stroud was 13 of 14 on those plays. So obviously they've used their blitz bullets. Like, they've tried to manufacture pressure. They've tried to manufacture a rush, and they're running out of tricks. The difference in the game against Atlanta, quite literally, was Bryce Huff, who had some juice coming off the edge, but then Huff got hurt on the second to last play with a hamstring. He's probably going to be out this week. You don't have him. You don't have Yetur Gross-Matos right now. Maybe he returns this week. We're not sure about that, though. And even when he was playing, he was limited, although he was rushing the passer well, but he was limited with his knee injury. Then he suffered a hamstring, and you're definitely not getting Nick Bosa back. So, I mean, for the 49ers, it's one of those things where this defense has done all that it can. Robert Saleh has done all that he can with a lack of raw materials. And every single week, more guys go down. The good news this week is that it seems there were no catastrophic injuries. But before anybody even went down yesterday, it was already a catastrophic result for the 49ers. They could not stop the Houston Texans. I mean, take a look at this in the piece. You know, there was so much debate in the comment section yesterday about who's at biggest fault, the 49ers offense or defense. I think that this right here, oops, let me go back to it. I'm going to take a screenshot. I'm going to make this big up on the screen. I just got to highlight it and toss it right here. This right here should solve any debate that you might have around the water cooler. This is the by unit EPA against the Houston Texans. And this has generally come out pretty close to the final score. It gives us an idea statistically, mathematically, of the damage in each phase of the game. negative 3.4 expected points lost on offense, which is not terrible. It's a little bit below average, especially considering the fact that they were going against the number one defense in the league. I personally didn't expect the offense to be better than negative 3.4 EPA. Special teams, plus 8. The 49ers special teams gained them over a touchdown. Brian Robinson's return, some good punting yesterday. They didn't kick any field goals yesterday, so it was just the coverage and the return games that were really, really nice for the 49ers, and you got to credit Thomas Morstead for the punting. So you're plus 8 on special teams, minus 3.4 on offense. If the defense just played average yesterday against a mediocre offense at best, 49ers probably win that game, right? They're probably plus 5 if the defense breaks even, if they're 0. Even if the defense is minus 3, 49ers probably win the game. But no, the defense registered a minus 21.5. Over 3 touchdowns of expected points lost by the 49ers defense in this game because they could not rush the passer with all those guys down. I'm happy that we led with what we should have led with yesterday. Everybody's complaining about the offense, this and that. I get it. Both sides of the football contributed to the loss, but you've got to lead with the locomotive that pulls the train. And the locomotive pulling the train toward the loss yesterday was the 49ers defense, the most glaring issue and also the most fixable one, and also the one that needs actual action to be fixed, was the lack of a pass rush. If you look at the 49ers offense and their struggles in the game, they were on QB2. I mean, when you've got a backup quarterback working against the league's number one defense without his top two wide receivers, no offense to that backup quarterback, but pictures like this are pictures that I tend to expect. Like, it's not rocket science. The Houston Texans maul quarterbacks. The 49ers didn't have a particularly mobile one. He's done a great job for them in Mac Jones, but he's not particularly mobile. And the 49ers just didn't have the game set up to put him into position to succeed. He's being paid QB2 money because he's a QB2, maybe a lower-end QB1. I mean, Mac Jones, the efficiency is around number 15 or number 16. Brock Purdy has already been a number one efficiency kind of guy. Brock Purdy's got the 10-yard split. He has the burst. They really, really needed him in this game yesterday. They didn't have him out there. Maybe they have him back against the worst defense that they faced this week in the New York Giants. The one big picture thing that I really want to emphasize is that they're favored against the Giants. If they win, if they hold on to this favorites title, then the 49ers will be 6-3. They were underdogs against the Texans. That game played out according to who was favored and who wasn't. But they're favored this week because they have a better chance to control game flow with their offense against a bad defense. They could keep their own defense on the sideline. That's the goal, right, against the New York Giants. If the 49ers move to 6-3, there are only 3 games the rest of the way that seem to be games of the 49ers will be underdogs, even given the dire current state of their roster. The Rams in week 10, they're going to be underdogs almost certainly. The Indianapolis Colts right before Christmas, they're playing great football. The 49ers will almost certainly be underdogs there unless the Colts slide off or see injuries before then. And then week 18 against the Seattle Seahawks at Levi's, the way things are shaping up now, the Seahawks are going to be favored over the 49ers. So even if you consider the 3 games in which the 49ers are probably going to be underdogs moving forward, you could still envision them winning 5 of the final 8. If they can win against the Giants on Sunday and then win, go 5-3 to finish, just holding serve in games in which they're the favorites, the 49ers could theoretically finish 11-6. 11-6 is exactly what I picked for the 49ers at the beginning of this season. So they might get there in a roundabout way. It might not be the most direct way to get to 11-6, but it is very possible because the schedule is soft enough. And that's all central to my thesis of they've got to go out there and seize this opportunity. If there is anybody to be had to give them some semblance of juice, some semblance of life at the edge rushing position after all these injuries, go out and get him. Bring the floor of this defense up. Insulate the bottom. Don't let the bottom drop out from underneath the defense, because that'd be terrible for the confidence of these younger players. And you know what would be a huge boost for the confidence of these younger players in 2026 and beyond? Getting them to a playoff game in 2025. Like, the just playing in a playoff game this season, even if the team is not good enough to realistically have designs on winning a Super Bowl, although it's such a crapshoot by the time that you get to January, you can never rule something like that out. But even if they just play one playoff game, that can benefit big time next year when Nick Bosa and Fred Warner are back. In my opinion, it's worth a rental that makes sense this year to get into the playoffs. Not just for our entertainment as we watch this team, but for the culture, for the overall development of this team. Success one year can carry over into success the next, especially when you have a lot of young players. We saw that for the 49ers back in 2017, 2018, 2019. They took some of the good stuff they were able to accomplish in 17 and 18, and they used it as fuel, building block for 2019. I think 2021 was a great building block for 2022 and 2023. So it's about carrying energy over, carrying experience over, but to carry any experience over, you actually have to build that experience and you have to develop it in a positive, proper way. And the only way you do that is if you're not terrible. And yesterday, the 49ers defense sure flirted with terrible. I mean, if we need to illustrate that one more time, I know it's extremely ugly, but the mathematical tail of the tape doesn't lie. Offense, not terrible, minus 3.4. Playing a really good defense, number one defense in the league, but the defense was terrible playing a bad offense. They gave up three touchdowns worth of expected points. You know, if they could just play average defense, Purdy coming back, Pearsall at some point coming back. We're not sure on Pearsall's status for this week. That's going to be updated on Wednesday. Kyle Shanahan didn't give much of an answer there. But you get guys back, and Ayuk at some point is on target to come back for the 49ers as well. You could consistently be getting plus 10-point performances from the offense on this scale. And if that defense can just keep this at minus 7, like losing a touchdown, fine, lose a touchdown defense, keep it at minus 7, and special teams can be in the positives, the 49ers can win their games. Like, they can average wins in their games by a fairly commanding fashion. You do not have to be a three-phase juggernaut to succeed big time in this league. You definitely don't have to be a three-phase juggernaut to make it to the playoffs, and making it to the playoffs would be tremendously valuable for the 49ers as a team. So that's why I'm fully aboard the make a trade train. And if you got to pay, overpay a little bit, do it for the culture of the team. I mean, it's at the point right now where it's so unique, being 5-3, favored to be 6-3, yet non-existent pass rush. You don't normally see those two truths go together. So it is an unprecedented situation. Maybe you have to react in an unprecedented way if you are John Lynch and the San Francisco 49ers at this moment. All right, let's open the grades back up. Let's go through all of them. I gave Mac Jones in the QB position a C. Thought it was a decidedly average performance. The running backs in this game, Christian McCaffrey and company, did not have a chance to get going, only 10 carries. So I just, you know, it's a throwaway grade. I gave him a C. I thought Christian still played really well, but he only got 10 carries on the game and wasn't his fault, but we'll just give him the average grade. It was National Tight Ends Day, so I gave George Kittle and those guys a B minus. Receivers, you could see all their production graded out right here. They get a D plus. I gave him a D plus because Jennings made a really nice catch on the 3rd and 17, and it essentially nullified his drop on the go ball. But the receiver, there just wasn't enough overall production in any facet of the offense yesterday. 49ers, outside of Juwan Jennings, who caught 4 passes, the wideouts combined for only 5 catches and 49 yards. Not enough snaps, not enough production. F for the offensive line, a ton of pressure against Williams and McKivitz. They actually did worse than the interior, but that's because the Texans' exterior is better than their defensive tackles. F for the defensive line, 3 pressures outside of a blitz and there were 14 blitzes in the game for the 49ers. D for the linebackers. Here you can see a graphic about how the game went, balanced out both ways. You can see that the favored side belongs to the Houston Texans. But I'm telling you, if not for special teams, 49ers lose this game by 27 to 30 points. I mean, last year they were losing 10 points a game in some of these games on special teams. Yesterday they picked up 8. That is an 18-point swing in their favor through special teams. Imagine if there was an 18-point additional advantage applied to the Texans in this game. They won by 11, 18 plus 11, 29. 49ers could lose this game by 30 points. Gave a D to the safeties. News at safety, Marquise Siegel has officially been benched. No snaps on defense for the rookie Marquise Siegel, who had been the most picked on safety in the pass game in the entire league. It is Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa who are the two safeties for the 49ers now. So two different starting safeties than the beginning of this season when it was Jason Pinnock and the rookie Marquise Siegel. They have gone to Brown and Malik Mustafa. The big nickel position is now taken up by Pinnock, but he only had two snaps in the game yesterday. Corner, I gave D+. I mean, safety's D, corner D+. For me, it's really hard to evaluate guys when there's no pass rush in front of you. It almost doesn't seem fair. But even then, I thought that there was times when the 49ers needed to take a bit of a chance yesterday. There was a lot of off, soft coverage, especially from Renardo Green. Let a lot develop in front of him. They did break the NFL long streak, 14 interceptions or 14 games without an interception. D'Amador Lenore got it. But as yesterday's game would have it, D'Amador Lenore didn't get down, and he cost the 49ers a really good chance at 3 points. Finally, look at this grade for special teams. A+. We're officially in the twilight zone. Special teams has been the 49ers' most efficient phase of the game. They didn't even need an Eddie Pinheiro field goal for their plus EPA performance. That was awesome for San Francisco. Special teams did get the job done. Thomas Morstead is punting the football well. And this is a bigger deal than I think a lot of people realize. If special teams continues to deliver the way that it is, with Eddie 17 of 17 still, Morstead punting well, the coverage units are good, Brian Robinson of the 49ers' best kick return of the season. If that continues the way that it's going, the 49ers definitely won't need a good defense to contend. They just need to make the defense like semi-acceptable. It could still be below average. Elite offense, really productive special teams, plus slightly below average defense gets you into the playoffs in all likelihood if you're the 49ers. And then there, you could go on an Eli Manning type of run. You could go on a Lynn Sanity type of run through the playoffs. This team has already shown to be clutch. They've already shown to be gritty, so why not give them that chance? You know, they just cannot afford to have the bottom fall out of the defense for so many reasons, one of them being potential contention here in 2025. Mike sent me the remaining strength of schedule around the NFL. Let's see what surprises Mike has in store. It's not the easiest schedule remaining for the 49ers, but it is the number 23 schedule remaining. Their opponents coming up over the final couple months of this season have a combined winning percentage of 471. Cardinals and the Texans play the hardest schedules moving forward. 49ers, Tampa, Miami, Jets, Jags, Ravens, Bengals, Saints, Browns, and Patriots play the easiest schedules. Almost all the teams that I listed under the 49ers, by the way, are AFC teams, minus Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Everybody else is an AFC team. I find that significant. Especially if you're racing for conference positioning, the 49ers have one of the easiest remaining schedules in the entire NFC. All the more reason, and there are a lot of reasons from a lot of different angles for the 49ers to try to push some chips into the middle of the table and help bolster this defense. Really, really struggled yesterday. In fact, I wrote about that yesterday up on the San Francisco Standard. We can go to that link. Here you go. Why trade help is critical for depleted and collapsing 49ers defense. We got Mac on the cover again. But I mean, I go into a whole heck of a lot. I already explained some of the rationale. Another part of it for the 49ers is that Purdy might be returning this week as we led the show. And the last thing you want is Purdy to get into a track meet, especially his first game back. You want to make sure that he gets to play a cool, calm, collected, gathered game. And to do that, you have to play decent defense. You can't just be bleeding yardage and forcing the offense back out there. And to play decent defense, you could play smoke and mirrors for a little while. I think Robert Saleh is a genius. I think he's one of the best in the game. But even he, over the long run, cannot outrun a lack of a four-man rush. And that's the easiest position to plug and play is edge rusher. It goes back to Fred Dean being traded to the 49ers in 81 and solidifying their Super Bowl chances. You have to have somebody effective at that very specialized position. Otherwise, you're going to continue running into fates like the one the 49ers ran into in Houston. I'm ready to answer some of your questions. Looks like we've got a super chat. You were at the game yesterday, CMC at 7 yards, and then Kyle Shanahan passes twice. Terrible play calling. I'm trying to remember exactly when that happened, but probably wouldn't agree with that either. I'm going to need more information in that regard, though. I'm not going to pretend like I know exactly what happened there. And then you say, if you're not getting pressure with four, why not five D linemen? Well, they tried to blitz yesterday. If you put in the 5D lineman is mainly a tactic used to stop the run. And if you need to bring more than four guys, it's often helpful for that fifth player to be faster and lighter so they could be more agile than the offensive lineman. The 49ers tried to blitz 14 times, and we simply saw 13 of 14 against the blitz for CJ Stroud. So it's a decent question. But I don't know what else the 49ers were supposed to do. Bill asks, did you swim competitively in high school and college? Where? Swam, yes. I was an age group competitive swimmer up through, lap swimmer up through college. And I went to Stanford, but that's when I started broadcasting the football team at Stanford when Jim Harbaugh was the coach there. So I had a pick between swimming and football basically at that point. And I chose football, and that's why I am here. But I always wanted to keep swimming as part of my life. And when pools shut down in 2020, I decided to hop in the bay and start swimming open water. And I started with a wetsuit, and ultimately I lost the wetsuit. And now it's the open water swimming that I'm taking very, very seriously. Thank you for the super chats. Much appreciated. I'm looking for some questions here. Mike, if you see anything good, send it to me. I know we got a lot coming in, so I want to make sure that I pick something that's worth talking about. Lynch has got to be on the ball soon. NFC West teams are going to try to grab the goods before the 49ers. True, but the Seattle Seahawks already loaded up front. So are the Rams. They might not be trading for the same positions. I know the Rams today traded for a cornerback, right? I don't think the 49ers need a corner. They need a defensive lineman. So different teams have different needs. The 49ers' needs are very, very clearly up front when it comes to the pass rush. You guys can watch my other videos for realistic trade targets. I've made so many videos about that stuff, so I'm not going to go rehash all of them. I even made another one this morning, so go ahead and check that out after we're done here. There's a lot of content that should fit what you're looking for in that front. Bronco Billy asks, without a solid offensive line, how can the offense perform? Well, the offense has performed with the current offensive line. In fact, with an offensive line that is ranked worse than this in 2023, Brock Purdy was an MVP finalist. I think that they're obviously really limited with what they're doing on along the offensive line by the left guard position, by Connor Colby, a rookie who shouldn't be playing but has been thrust into action. You need Ben Bartsch back. That should immeasurably make things better. Your tackles are fine. Like, they got beat yesterday by one of the best, if not the best, pass rushes in football in the Houston Texans. But you'll go to battle with Trent Williams any day. You'll go to battle with Colton McKivitz any day. He's taken a lot of strides for the 49ers this year. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. That's how the NFL works. It's a week-to-week kind of league in that way. So, I mean, all you can talk about with the offensive line is a deficiency that they can realistically improve in the short run. And I think the one they can improve in the short run is at left guard. Yes, the tackles are fine. Trent Williams and Colton McKivitz got beat by the number one defense in football yesterday, with the 49ers trailing the whole game and the Houston Texans pinning their ears back. It happens. Like, it's happened to other teams who have played the Texans this year. It's good on good in the NFL, right? If you look at the overall pressure allowances for the tackles for the 49ers, they've both been above average this year. So we need to let go of this spoiled mentality that says my team needs to be the best at everything every single week in a salary capped league where everybody's being paid millions of dollars. And it's also the most competitive league in the entire world. Like, it's just not realistic thinking to think that your offensive linemen are never going to be beat. You evaluate how your O-line does versus how other O-lines do. Trent Williams and Colton McKivitz have outperformed way more than half the tackles in this league. They are firmly above average offensive tackles in this league. End of story. There's no question. You can't debate that. That's there. That is a documented fact when you look at every single metric of offensive line play. Where the 49ers have struggled has been at guard, particularly at guard. Jake Brendel was mediocre at that center position. There's going to be low lights. There's some highlights. I know the low lights tend to go viral for Jake Brendel. He's hurt now anyway. Matt Hennessy is playing in his place. That's been generally a wash for the 49ers center. It is left guard and right guard. And Dominic Pooney has been better because he's coming off the knee injury. So I don't think they're worried about him. I think they firmly believe Dominic Pooney is going to be a high-level performer for them once he's got enough time from that knee injury, separation time. It's left guard where they were hoping for more, where they had to thrust Connor Colby into action much sooner than he was ready. Ben Bartsch was playing good football. Ben Bartsch's practice window has been opened. That's some of the big news from this Monday press conference. And the 49ers offensive line is moving forward now, hopefully with Ben Bartsch back. And that should help a lot. Got a follow-up question here from Todd. He says, so you're supposed to expect All-Pro Trent to be on skates being pushed back into Mac Jones? You should probably expect that, man. Danielle Hunter's a good player, too. Will Anderson Jr. is a really good player, too. This is not a video game, dude. This is not a game where our guys are going to win every single rep. No, if stuff around Trent Williams and company is not going well, good defensive line play has outpaced good offensive line play. You absolutely should expect that, and you shouldn't be upset about it when it happens. You know why the 49ers paid Brock Purdy $53 million per year? Because he's got one of the fastest 10-yard bursts in football to combine with his quarterbacking ability. He can get away from the pass rush. You are invariably going to lose up front. I don't care who you are. Philadelphia Eagles have been losing a lot up front this year with their pass protection. But mobile quarterbacks are the ones that can get away. And then when Jimmy Garoppolo was with the 49ers, he had a really elite quick release. That allowed him to evade some of the pass rush. But Trent Williams is going to have 25 to 40, maybe sometimes up to 50 reps per game. On average, he's going to win if he's got 50, he's going to win 48 out of 50 or 23 out of 25 reps. Like, he's on average going to give up about two pressures. Some games are going to be a little bit worse. Yesterday against a really good pass rush, he gave up four. Some games he's going to put up a clean sheet. But the totality of what Trent Williams gives up has been well above average, like in a good way. Like, he's given up less than the typical offensive tackle in the NFL. Same thing with Colton McKivitz on the other side. That is not the problem for the 49ers offense. That's a really, really overly simplistic way of looking to see what the problem is. If you're not expecting offensive linemen to give up pressure, you're not watching a realistic game. Sorry to give you the reality check, but that's just sort of how it works. John Feliciano's been on the show, but you don't just call guys for the hell of calling guys. They've got Ben Bartsch coming back this week. Now, Bartsch is unable to return or stay healthy, and they lose another guard. Maybe at that point you start digging into the veteran well. But Bartsch, if Bartsch can stay healthy, that solves a lot of problems for the 49ers at left guard. I think that Feliciano would be the emergency on speed dial beyond that. Bill says, edge help will not come cheap. If they want significant help, it will cost. Getting bench help will do nothing to remedy the problem. Okay, I disagree with the last part. I generally agree with your it's not cheap thing, but here's the thing. The 49ers just need to not be terrible on defense. Like, they need some pulse of a pass rush. They don't need Micah Parsons. They know that Nick Bosa is not going to walk back through that door. They just need something. They didn't have anything yesterday. They had three pressures when they weren't blitzing yesterday. So they just need something to hang their hat on against the opponents coming up, most of whom they're going to be favored against. So if that's the case, go back and look to see how the 49ers have acquired edge rushers before. Charles Omenihu, what did that cost him? A sixth-round pick in 2021? He helped significantly. So here you know, we have some people saying they're not going to get any help if they don't pay a massive amount. They didn't pay a massive amount for Charles Omenihu, and everything was fine. He did improve their pass rush. So there are bargains to be had. You just have to look in the right places in this league. I think that the biggest thing to remember when you're debating about whether or not to use draft capital is, how have the 49ers acquired their plus pass rushers, like edge rushers who have scored above average in terms of pass rushing productivity? How have they acquired those guys over the Shanahan Lynch tenure? All right, let's go through it. Nick Bosa, draft pick. D Ford, trade. Charles Omenihu, trade. Kerry Hyder Jr., free agent signing, free agent addition. Bryce Huff, trade. Chase Young, trade. By and large, the 49ers have added edge rushers, the effective ones, through either trades or signings. In fact, the only defensive lineman whom the 49ers have added to the edge rushing position who has been a plus performer in terms of pass rushing productivity is Nick Bosa through the draft. The only one that they've added through the draft is Nick Bosa. I've got the full list for you guys right here. I think this is a very, very important reality check. Maybe the 49ers need to see this too. They have not drafted plus edge rushers in terms of pass rushing productivity. They've either traded for them or they've picked them up through free agency. So if you just look at this, you only see one draft pick on there. If you look at this list, you can say that it's not only will it not hurt the team necessarily to use draft picks for a veteran player right now, it could also be what builds your team's defensive line for the future. Somebody like Charles Omenihu, they traded for him. The very next year, he had a big year for the 49ers. Like, he was under contract for a season plus when they traded for him. Somebody like Arden Key was a really good free agent signing. They were able to glean a lot from him because Chris Kocurek is a very good defensive line coach. I would say that Kerry Hyder Jr., 2020, for the 49ers. They lost Nick Bosa and Dee Ford that year. Kind of like this year, losing Nick Bosa and Bryce Huff, although Huff is going to be back, unlike Dee Ford. I understand they still had Arik Armstead. It was like their Yetur Gross-Matos in 2020, better version of Yetur Gross-Matos. But they still had Kerry Hyder Jr. come off the street and log 8.5 sacks. There can be a guy out there right now that's looking for employment that's your Kerry Hyder Jr. I mean, it takes some luck to stumble into a player like that, but you can never say never. The 2020 defense remained ranked at number 8. They kept it afloat despite the fact that they lost their top two edge rushers. Chase Young was a plus pass rusher for the 49ers, came over in a trade. And Bryce Huff has been a game changer already for the 49ers this year. He also came over in a trade. I think this might be the single most important graphic that you look at today. Don't think that draft picks are some kind of be-all, end-all. Sometimes you have to spend those draft picks before the draft to bring in players who are going to give you a pass rush. In the past, that's what the 49ers have done. Why not this year? Why not 2025 when they need a pass rush more than ever? Appreciate you, Bill. No questions asked with this, but helps me get a sandwich. I do like to eat, so I appreciate that. Thank you. What's the football game tonight, by the way? I got to get my phone. My phone is stuck down here. Look, I'm going to, as I crawl down to get my phone, I'm going to put the almighty list up for you. My phone is vibrating. Mike is texting me. Oh, my God, I dropped my phone again. Mike, who's playing the game tonight? Commanders against the Chiefs. Thanks. Phone's on the ground. I just give up at this point. World Series is coming up. Commanders are playing the Chiefs. We're 52 minutes into this thing. And you know what? I saw Patrick Willis yesterday. Said hi to him before the game. Number 52. It all checks out. All makes a lot of sense. There's your update. Brock Purdy and company might all be back together on the field this week. Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan believes that Brock Purdy may be ready for a San Francisco return. I've got the article up here on the San Francisco Standard. There's hope for Brock Purdy's return after a double-digit loss. Go ahead and check it out. I'm going to pin it to the top of the comment section. You can support me by going and signing up for the San Francisco Standard. You could support me by going ahead and signing up for this channel right now. Subscribe to this channel. Check it out. Everybody, thanks for watching, and we will see you very, very soon.